Ask you again for your prayers today. I want to try to share with you the thought that the Lord placed upon my heart. I know I can't do anything without the Lord. And I also know that the Bible tells us that where His Spirit is, there's liberty. And that can be applied in a lot of different ways. And I pray that and ask you that you would pray for me today. I want to serve the Lord. In the 19th chapter of John, I'd like to begin a reading with verse 17. If you have your Bibles with you and would like to read with me, please turn there to the 19th chapter of the Gospel according to John, beginning with verse 17. And you know, I would greatly desire today that God would help us all to turn our eyes upon Jesus and to look at Him today and consider Him and consider the great things that He has done for us. John chapter 19, verse 17. And He, bearing His cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified Him and two other with Him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Then said the chief priest of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that He said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took His garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also His coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which said, they parted my raiment among them, and my vesture they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus His mother, and His mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw His mother and the disciple standing by whom He loved, He saith unto His mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith He to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now I want you to make special note of that. Remember that verse. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled it, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, He said, it is finished, and He bowed His head and gave up the ghost. And I want to stop reading there with verse 30, having read John chapter 19, verses 17 through 30 for a scripture reading. And I want to ask you today to think with me about what Jesus said after that He knew that everything was accomplished in order for the scriptures to be fulfilled, and He had made known the fact that He was thirsty. The Bible says that He received the vinegar, and said, it is finished. And that's what my thoughts will be based upon today. And I want to use for a title a question, what was finished? I want us to think about the statement that the Lord made when he said, it is finished, and gave up the ghost. What was he talking about? And I know that I am in way over my head here, but if you pray for me, perhaps the Lord will help me to say some things that will be helpful to someone here today. I believe that the statement that Jesus made when he said, it is finished, and from what we read in the scriptures, it certainly causes us all, I believe, to see that Jesus made this statement and he immediately died after he had said, it is finished. He just bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. And I really believe that this statement, it is finished, is actually a very far-reaching statement, perhaps much more than what we have ever thought about. I don't know what you have concluded from this, what your thoughts may be as to what all Jesus was actually saying when he made this statement, it is finished. What was finished? And that's what I'd like for us to think about together. Now, the Lord Jesus, and we have evidence in the scripture, and I want to share some of those examples with you, but we have great evidence in the scripture that Jesus, when he came here, he was all about doing what he had been sent here to do. He was all about accomplishing everything that God sent him to earth to accomplish. And we find this attitude in him at the age of 12. Now, we know that those that study the Bible, you know that we're really not given a whole lot of information about the life of Jesus. We read about the Bible, what the Bible tells us concerning his birth. We read about him at the age of 12. Then we read about him at around the age of 30 when he began his public ministry. And we know that there's a lot of the years of his life that were not recorded. And God knows why that is. But I do know this, that John said, if everything that he had done would have been written, I suppose that the world wouldn't even contain the books that would have been written had everything he did been recorded. But we do know that we have scriptural evidence that by the age of 12 years old, he was determined to do the work of his father. And we have the example of that when his mother returned to there to Jerusalem after that they had left and got about a day's journey away and realized that he was not traveling back with them, and she came back there they came back there to Jerusalem seeking him and found him there sitting in the midst of the Jewish doctors in the temple, you know, teaching them things and asking questions and answering questions. And so when his mother, Mary, said to him that we have sought thee sorrowing, we were worried about you. We noticed that you were not with us and we were very concerned about you. And his answer to her at the age of 12 was, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And I've told the church here before what I believe Jesus was saying there. I believe that when he said that to Mary, that he was certainly not being disrespectful to his mother when he said, well, how is it that you sought me? He wasn't being sarcastic to her or anything like that. I believe what he was simply saying was, well, why would you have gone anywhere looking for me? You should have known exactly where to come to. You should have known that you would find me here in the temple, in God's house, doing what I'm doing, going about my Father's business. So how is it that you were looking for me? But that's what his attitude was, even at a very young age. I must be about my Father's business. We know that God sent his Son into the world with great purpose. The Bible tells us in the Galatian letter that in the fullness of the time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. And so he sent his Son here into the world with great purpose in mind. Now, in the fourth chapter of the Gospel of John, in the account of Jesus and the Samaritan woman there at Jacob's well, during the time that Jesus was talking to this woman, we find that his disciples had gone away into the city to buy meat. And when they came back, he was had been conversing with this Samaritan woman, and they wanted Jesus to take nourishment. They wanted him to eat. They wanted him to take some meat and eat. And there's a statement that we find in the fourth chapter of John in verse 34 that Jesus made to his disciples concerning this. When they wanted him to eat, he said unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." And, of course, his disciples were like they often were. They were somewhat void of understanding like we often are. They didn't really understand exactly what he was saying. And so they questioned among themselves if somebody else had brought meat to him, if somebody else had brought, something for him to eat. But that's not what he was talking about. He wasn't talking about that natural nourishment. He was talking about doing the work that God had sent him here to do. And there again, we see him speaking of the desire that he had within himself to do the will of his heavenly Father, to do all that God had sent him here to do. There were things that the Lord fulfilled. I believe the Bible will prove this. There were things that he fulfilled along the way through his life. There were scriptures, there were prophecies that the Lord fulfilled while he was here. We read in the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Luke of a time in Nazareth when Jesus went into the synagogue there in Nazareth, and they brought to him the book of the law, and he opened to the writings of Isaiah, and he read a prophecy before them there in their presence in the synagogue. He read the prophecy from the book of Isaiah that said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Jesus read this before those people, and he closed the book, and he gave it back to the minister of the synagogue, and he sat down, and all of their eyes were fixed up on him, waiting to hear what he would say. And he said to them, "This day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears." The one that Isaiah was talking about here, the one that would come to bring the gospel to the poor, the one that would come to heal the brokenhearted and to preach liberty to them that were captive and recovering sight to the blind. And listen, that was much more than just restoring people's natural sight. Jesus came to do much more than that, didn't he? He came, you know, I've told you before that the people that preach the health, wealth, prosperity, religion, that type of message that we're hearing in the world today, I'm telling you, Jesus came to do greater things for us than what we experience in the flesh. He came to give us great spiritual wealth, great eternal life, give us life and give it to us abundantly. And so he said, this day, this prophecy of Isaiah, this scripture, today is fulfilled in your ears. The one that came to do these things is among you. He's here and he's with you. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, God living among us in a human body. There's another place that we read about in the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John. And listen, if you have never sat down and read the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John, do it. It's a beautiful, it is the record of a beautiful prayer that Jesus prayed towards the end of his earthly stay. And while he was praying that prayer to God, he made this statement. He said, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Now, however that you may discern that, or whatever it is specifically that you may believe that Jesus was talking about there, I certainly believe that he had finished the work of establishing his church here in the world. But whatever you believe that he was talking about there, certainly we know that there was a time there when Jesus was praying and he was saying to his heavenly Father that there were certain things concerning the work that God had sent him to do that he had finished. In the 26th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, when Jesus had instituted the Lord's Supper and Judas was there with them, and Jesus knew that he was about to betray, that Judas was about to betray him. And he made this statement that we find recorded in Matthew chapter 26, verse 24. He said, the Son of Man goeth as it is written unto him, but woe unto him to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for him not to have been born. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. Now I want you to remember that in the 19th chapter of John, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled. The Son of Man goeth as it is written. Written where? Written in the scriptures. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. And so Jesus was going to finish everything that was said about him in the Word of God would be finished. Now we can look at this. We can look at the word finished here, and we can define that as being the way that we often use it when we are done doing something. Maybe when we're doing a particular work, a particular task, and we finish that, and we say, we're done. We're finished, and we can look at that at the end of work that's being done. And I certainly believe that applies, but also we need to consider that when Jesus made the statement, it is finished, that he was saying, it is completed. It's completed. Everything that was supposed to be done has been done. It has been made complete. It's concluded. There's nothing that has been left undone. You know, I know that we would all probably like to think that when we leave the world, that we won't leave anything undone. But that's just not going to happen, is it? No doubt that all of us in the course of our life, somewhere along the way, we're going to fail. Somewhere along the way, we're going to leave something undone. Somewhere along the way, for every one of us, when it comes time to draw our last breath, there were things in our life that we should have done that we did not get done, and we won't be complete in that way, no doubt, when we leave the world. But I'm telling you that Jesus, when he lived on the earth, when it came time for him to die, there was nothing, not one thing that God had sent him here to do, not one thing that God had sent him here to experience that had not been completed when he died at Calvary. The statement, "It is finished," I believe was a great declaration by Jesus. That's what he was saying. That's why we see the importance attached to this, of him not doing this, not dying there on the cross until he knew that everything that had been spoken of him had been fulfilled. Everything that he was supposed to accomplish with his life was done. I don't believe Jesus left one thing undone. You know, the Bible tells us that he, in fact, Jesus himself made the statement that he had not come to destroy the law, but that he had come to fulfill it. And when he made the statement, "It is finished," and bowed his head and gave up the ghost, he had fulfilled the law in every aspect. Everything that was to be fulfilled in that, he had fulfilled it. We know that there was great evidence that when the Lord Jesus Christ bowed his head and gave up the ghost right after saying it was finished, the Bible gives us great evidence that the things that had been done for years and years in the ceremonial law came to an end. Came to an end. The veil of the temple tore in two from the top to the bottom. There was no need for that anymore, was there? There was no need for those sacrifices that had been made for years and years, those animal sacrifices that had been made to typify the one that would come and make the supreme sacrifice. It had been done. It had been completed and accomplished. And that veil just tore right in two from the top to the bottom. All of the things. You know, there's a lot in the Old Testament about Jesus. And those that say Jesus isn't spoken of until you get into the New Testament scriptures, they just don't understand. They don't understand. There's a lot said. We've got proof of that. We got great proof of that with the Ethiopian eunuch that was returning after having been to Jerusalem and worshipped, and Philip encountered him and came near to him there in the chariot, and this Ethiopian eunuch was sitting there reading from the writings of Isaiah in the Old Testament. He was reading those, and he was reading from what we now know as the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, and he asked the question, who is the prophet talking about here? Is he talking about himself? Is he talking about somebody else? And Philip took the scriptures, and from the very place that that man was reading, what did he do? He preached unto him Jesus. Jesus. That's who Isaiah was talking about. The listen, when Jesus said it is finished, all of the prophecy concerning the sufferings that he would face, all the things that we find in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, where it talks about the fact that he would be a man of sorrow, that he would be acquainted with grief, all the sufferings that we find prophesied and spoken of in the 22nd Psalm, of all the things that Jesus would face, the sufferings that he would endure as a man here on the earth, all of those things, when the Lord Jesus Christ said, it's finished, all of that was done. All of it was complete. And there wasn't anything that any of the prophets, I mean from his birth until his crucifixion and all that happened in his life in between, there wasn't anything, not one thing, that the prophets had spoke concerning Jesus and what he would do and what he would experience and what he would accomplish on the earth. There wasn't anything that was not done. Now, you know, I know that a lot of people don't even believe in him, but I'm telling you, Jesus Christ had the most successful life of anybody that's ever lived. He did everything that he came to do. When he died on the cross of Calvary, listen, he made the atonement that had to be made if we were going to be redeemed. He was the only one that could do that. He was the only one that could accomplish that. He was the only sacrifice that God would accept as a propitiation for my sins and your sins. And when he said, it is finished, it was finished. It was finished. Did you know that there has never been the necessity of another plan of salvation? Jesus did everything necessary to be done in order for us to be saved. His sacrifice pleased God to the point that the Bible tells us that there is no salvation in any other. God is so satisfied with what Christ did that he will not accept anybody upon any basis other than the blood of his son. He just won't accept anybody any other way. Lost friend, if you want to be saved, you've got to come through Jesus. You have to come through Jesus because he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by him. God's plan of salvation is finished. Now, I know that when the Lord made the statement, perhaps those that were looking upon him Perhaps those that were seeing his mangled form, perhaps those were that were seeing his bloody face and his mutilated form may have looked at him and said that this man had anything but a victorious life. But I'm telling you, he did, because he accomplished it all according to the Scriptures, according to what God sent him to do. They took him down, they took his body down, and they buried him. They placed him in that tomb, and on the third day he arose. And you know, after Jesus resurrected, we don't see him going through the things. I mean, he was on the earth for several days after he resurrected, before he ascended back to heaven, but we don't see him going through the things that he went through prior to that. He proved himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, and then he ascended back to heaven to be with God, and he's seated there at the right hand of God now, and he's coming again one of these days, but we are never going to see Jesus here again to suffer and to die. He did that one time, and when he finished it, it was finished. It was finished. The Bible teaches us there in the Hebrew letter how that under the law, under the ceremonial law, that the high priest, that the people would have to bring their sacrifice, and the high priest would take the blood in there beyond the veil into the Holy of Holies and offer it up there as an atonement for sin. But it never could take away their sins. The 10th chapter of Hebrew tells us, was it possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin? And this was something that they had to do year after year. They would have to come and make these sacrifices in this way. But the 9th chapter of Hebrews tells us that Jesus entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. He doesn't ever have to do it again, does he? For Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. It is finished. All of the suffering, it's over. All of the temptations of the devil are over. All of the things that I have faced at the hands of sinful men, it's over. All of the attempts that the devil made to keep him from doing the Father's will, it's over. It's over. It's all finished. It's all been complete. And it's all been victorious. He won. He won. And I'm going to tell you, lost friend, that everything necessary in order for you to be saved is done. God has made perfect provision for you. You are commanded to repent before him, place your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You are commanded to do this and seek him and be saved. But if you don't do that, if you don't follow God's commandments, if you die lost and in your sins, you will never be able to blame it on the Lord. He did everything. He finished everything necessary. You won't be able to blame it on anybody else. You'll stand before him and give an account for yourself unto God. It's finished. Can you get a picture of that? Right down to them giving him the vinegar, putting it to his mouth, and him taking it, and knowing that everything the scripture said is done. It's done. And then, and not before then he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Aren't you glad that Jesus finished the Father's work? Boy, we sure have benefited. We sure have benefited from him being determined. All the emotions that he was feeling there in the garden when he prayed, and his sweat became as great drops of blood falling to the ground. It was finished. It was all done, all complete. I appreciate your attention. I'd like to ask Brother Ernie if he would to come.